Fury.
I'd like to call this meeting of Tama County Commission, August 26, 2013, to order. If you'll bow your heads, I'll offer an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many gifts, and especially thy Son, the Lord Jesus. I ask especially, Father, that you be with my mother today that's in the hospital, that you give her strength, Lord, and that you bring her through this difficult time. I ask, Lord, that you direct us today, that the decisions we make, Father, be within your will. I ask this in your name. Amen. Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is previous meeting minutes.
Move to approve minutes dated 6/27, 7/8, 7/22, 7/25, 7/29, 8/9, and 8/12, with corrections.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated 6/27, 7/8, 7/22, 7/25, 7/29, 8/9, 8/12, with correction. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Move to approve executive session minutes dated 4/29, 7/8, 7/25, 7/29A, 7/29B, 8/8, 8/12, 6/27A, and 6/27B, with correction.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded to approve executive session minutes 4/29, 7/8, 7/25, 7/29A, 7/29B, 8/12, 6/27A, and 6/27B. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable.
Move to approve accounts payable checks numbers 336466 through 336560, warrants 5826 and 5827. There is one transfer for closures.
Second. It's a journal entry. That's a, that is a transfer, though, isn't it? Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks number 336466 through 336560. Warrants 5826, 5827. Transfer journal entry for postage. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
next order of business is approval of payroll.
Motion to approve of payroll.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve payroll. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Scheduled MoDOT monthly update, but I don't see our speaker. Shannon? Are we posted downstairs in businesses?
Yep.
Up here. Have you heard anything from Beth with Missouri Department of Transportation? Let's skip on since we have them all posted at the same time and move to the next discussion. Facility equipment discussion with Mr. Parent, Mark Parent. Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Where is
me?
Yes. We have listed a facility equipment discussion.
Yes, at 9:30.
It is. Are you expecting others?
No.
Could you address us
now?
Now,
sure. Yes.
The reason I say that, I'm assuming that they gave you a possible start time, but we're really sure. Scheduled for 9.
That's
so
fine. I have no problem. Well, the airport board and I would like to ask for replacement approval to have a purchasing agent pursue a bidding process and replace our heating and cooling system at the airport office. The heating and cooling system we have in place now is 16 years old. It's an air conditioning and all electric heat strip system, which is very energy inefficient to begin with. But last winter we had several service calls because it was sorely lacking. It was failing. And we found it necessary to supplement it with several space heaters to get through the winter, and which is even energy, far more energy inefficient. And so we have received two independent recommendations from reputable companies, local reputable companies, and their recommendations do concur independently that we should replace the system with an energy-efficient heat pump system and supply some additional ducting modification. There currently is no floor-level return for the system. The system is designed effectively to heat and cool the attic area above the suspended ceiling. And so the registers and returns are level in the ceiling, which causes heat from the registers to just migrate toward the returns and stay up in the attic area. And if we got any heat to begin with, well, it would be just residual extra. And so this system needs to be replaced with an energy-efficient heat pump system. Ducting needs to be modified so that the returns are ducted, and we need one floor level return so that heat will migrate towards the floor. And then follow up with additional insulation. Currently, there's no insulation above the suspended ceiling. So we'd like to roll insulation in when that's complete. That's what the airport board has asked me to resolve.
And you would have to go through the bidding process to give us a general estimate or a, I know you're going to have two or three bids, but what I'm wondering is there a estimated cost approximately?
Yes, I have an idea what it would cost. I'm a little hesitant to state that before a bidding process in case it might influence the bids, but I will say that if you want me to.
Well, it would be no different than a engineering estimated cost or anything on a project that we have where it goes out for bid. So I understand your concern, but for us to evaluate.
Well, let me ask for
read or anything.
Request for proposals and request for bids. It sounds like there's two or three different options.
Are you going to bid those separate or all together?
Well, we won't be able to bid the insulation with it, and that's something I think we could probably supply in-house with our current staff. On free time, we can purchase rolls of insulation and work on rolling that above the suspended ceiling. I don't know that a heating and air company would be in the insulation business either. So it would have to be, if we did that separately, we would have to do two independent bids. But the heating and air and ducting can all be done with one company, and would be easy to bid that process. And I have an estimate on what it would cost, but of course, until we go through that bidding process. I do, once again, I have two reputable companies that concurred independently on the fix, which is as I just described.
I understand if you want to wait then.
I can tell you if you want me to.
Without it being so that we can use a reasonable judgment of how we want to approach this. If it goes under one company, they're going to subcontract the insulation part anyway, unless you put it in your bid. And
he's even doing it in house. I'll say it's part
of that. Now the cost factor on insulation would be the labor, which they pretty much have. And we have the time to do that in the winter, I believe.
I have no problem with a whole source of bid, but
I think if you worked with Mr. Erickson and set a date to receive those bids, but put together the specs, et cetera, go through the process, that'll tell us what we need to know when that time comes. So I think we need to move forward.
And entering the budget time that we're in, I want to look at the financials, where we're at, and all that kind of thing. I have been to a few meetings now at the airport because we have scheduling difficulties with other county business. But I'm fine with it.
My assumption is that this is going to fall outside of what we have budgeted within 2015, but we also have a contingency fund in our 1.11 floor account, so it's something that we could address.
That would be the airport board's request was to pursue it as new equipment as well, which we don't have a line item for it within our budget.
Right.
Okay. I can pursue the bidding process?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Harris.
Great.
They definitely didn't seem interested in commission business. Anybody in the crowd want to copy this?
Thank you.
Okay. First thing on my list of to do today was to update you guys all on where we're at with our long range planning. And we had titled this effort On the Move, and we've been doing this since last spring. I don't know if you remember or not, we did a couple of listening sessions in our district in Springfield and Joplin to try to get some feedback on our long-range plan. We have a long-range plan in place right now, but about every 5 years we try to update that. Right off the top, you'll notice me and I gave you basically said this is not related to the funding package. it feeds into a funding package if one comes along, but it's not the 1 cent sales tax effort that was being looked at in the legislature this spring. And we had a lot of confusion because they were doing that at the same time we were pursuing our long-range plan input, and so we always let everybody know that that's related, but not what we're doing right here. We always have to have a plan in place that's obviously going to help us if any package does come along. If we've already got the planning in place, then that's going to help us, you know, have our ducks in a row and hit the ground running. But this is an effort, an internal effort by the department to make sure that we have what Missourians want in place for the long-range plan, so that when we do our STIPs, that we, you know, our statewide actual obligation of funds every 5 years, you know, the 5-year obligation of funds, that we're following that same long-range plan. So we did outreach all spring and summer. We got feedback from more than 10,000 Missourians on what they wanted. We did that through those listening sessions I was talking about. I think we had 17 of those throughout the state. We did that by going to Chamber of Commerce meetings, and I met with the Farm Bureau, went to Plum Nelly Days, you know, just wherever we could go that we knew we would see people and be able to talk to them. We just asked them for their input on what you want to see in your long-range plan. Throughout the state, we saw pretty well a theme of four major items that came to the top, no matter where we were at. Those were maintain the existing system and services. You know, make sure that you've got that as your priority. You know, looking at our funding stream as it is now and how tight it is, we want to make sure we maintain what we've got. Keep the cabin public safe. As much as possible, you know, incorporate safety-type projects into the SIP and into future planning. Tying our investments in the transportation infrastructure into economic development. You know, where we can, let's try to improve economics through transportation improvements. And then finally, and this was one that was kind of out there on our radar, but it's showing up a lot more, and I would say it's not showing up so much in previous long-range plan, but it definitely is showing up now, is the integration of different transportation systems. Whether that be bike ped facilities that get you to where you want to go, or light rail in some of the bigger cities, or even ports having rail service. We're getting a lot more feedback about economic development and the fact that if we could tie as many transportation modes together as possible, that would be a big economic boom for the state. So those were our four themes, and that's what you will see reflected in the draft document, which will be coming out probably in October, I think, for the commission. That is what I've been told. What we will do is we'll take that draft document out once the commission approves release of it, and we'll be meeting with all our planning partners again and saying, hey, you know, take a look at this, or here's kind of an executive summary of what we've got in this. Is this what you guys told us? Is this a reflection of what we've tried to collect, and you know, did we get it right? And then once we tweak the draft document based on input, that'll go to the commission probably in the spring of next year, somewhere around there, and be adopted. And like I said, the importance of that is it helps us make sure we're on track with our 5-year STIPs. You know, every year we update the 5-year STIP, and just makes us, you know, more answerable to the public that we are following what we said we would do. You guys got any questions on that at all?
No. And your questions, Larry?
No, each city, Hollister, Branson, and the county receive a certain amount of funds that are built up on those STIPs. Are those used up, or did they start building back up after the Tanicomo Bridge project?
Are you talking about STP funds, the federal funds that we administered for you guys?
Right.
Those, as far as I know, have not changed. So you should be beginning to build back up on your yearly.
Those were made. Those. The reason I asked that question is my understanding were those were taken care of with the grant money that we received through the stimulus monies. And so did we lose, was there any loss of funds, or do we have a certain amount that I'd like to be able to look at that are available to each Hollister branch and Forsyth as far as the funding that's appropriate at the time that we decided to do the ratio there? Each entity had a certain amount of funds that they were going to be able to put in, and those dollars is what I'm
okay, so you're saying that at one point, and I'm sorry because I don't know the history in this, at one point those entities had talked about putting money into the project, but then we were able to get ERA funds instead?
I wondered if those amounts have grown and what amounts they are.
Okay.
Can you give me that information?
Yeah, I actually deal with that program directly, so I've got the balances. I just don't have them with me.
And what you said earlier about the different forms of transportation, mm-hmm. can stem lines for rail, can they be used in that as far as the county's part of it that would affect?
I think,
you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with that. I think right now, I know gas tax money. And basically, I think STP funds are basically gas tax money, are limited to basically
highways
and enhancements along the highway corridors, because you can spend them on like sidewalks. But I don't think you can spend them on rail. I would just have to check, because that's the first time I've ever had anybody look outside of just a road or a bridge or a sidewalk.
It's been brought up quite a lot about the rail and different things, and we would.
I know in our state funding, we don't spend any gas tax because of the way the laws are written. We don't spend any gas tax on rail other than, you know, at-grade crossings and an impacted roadway. And we have a little bit of general revenue that comes out of the state general revenue fund that goes a little bit towards rail, a little bit towards airports, a little bit towards ports. But it's so small. It's infinitesimal. I mean, it's just a small amount of money that those groups get, that they pretty well pursue other forms of money to get anything done.
The way that this is all presented to us and has been, its economic development impact would maybe the largest economic development impact would be through, in our this particular area, through rail stems to different locations, to the Branson Underground, or to the airport, or anything else that might come into development where we would need to. I'd like to be on the front end of that.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's a hot topic with, especially down there in Hollister. Rick is a real big pusher for wanting to try to integrate all forms of transportation down to the airport area and get that all interlinked and get some development. I hear that a lot from him, and I hear a lot from the Branson area. Interested more in the passenger type of stuff, you know, light rail or something to get people in direct access, maybe even from, at a minimum, the Springfield Airport, but they would like a direct feed, you know, all the way up to St. Louis and that type of thing.
The definitive answer to what you referred to would be really useful.
I'll research it. I'm almost positive that we pretty well are restricted on where those funds can go, but that's one of the things that when they were first proposing, when the legislator was proposing the 1% sales tax, that was kind of the beauty of that, is it was any form of transportation. It wouldn't be like the gas tax. So it had a little bit more flexibility than what we've got with our gas tax right now.
Yeah, when they spoke to us at the commissioner's meeting in Jeff City, and then also, I believe, at Lake of the Ozarks last year, that was the emphasis was on the new. Even the ports, as you said, and the rail was a big thing that they talked about. So
yeah.
I would like to know the monies that possibly are available because we didn't use those up in the tank on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that when you're talking about ports, I think that I'm going out on a limb here, but I think the port people are almost as interested in getting rail service to their ports as they are in making improvements to the port itself. Because that really... I think it's kind of build it and they will come type of thing. If they can get rail service, then they can get more people at the port, and then they can have funding come in that will help pay for the port itself. I think that's one of the challenges, is getting the rail service there. So. And it's interesting because that's a lot of the feedback we're getting from this area too. Is Springfield is interested in better rail service, Branson, Hollister. So I think that's something that I wouldn't have expected 25 years ago. Anything else? I'll give you guys a little bit of update on what's going on with maintenance and construction. First of all, on the maintenance side, I talked to Jim Jewsbury this morning. He said to make sure to let you guys know that we've got some folks from our design department coming down to look at. He said we had a drainage issue over by where our old building used to be that you guys own over on 76. And they're coming down to take some shots and look at some stuff and see what they can do as far as the drainage problem down there.
You're talking about out from the county, the barn there. It's actually the ditch lines and things like that where the runoff's been across.
Yeah, that's an incredible spot of water backstop. I know at least half the highway is gone, maybe more of it.
I knew, it's one of those things that I've never been over there when it's happened, but I've heard feedback from a lot of people.
People send pictures this year.
I guess along those same lines, since we're talking about drainage, I also talked to Representative Rowland a couple weeks ago, and he had some constituents call him about Route J. I guess whenever we got that huge rain out in the Hollister area, the J was underwater for a while, and apparently the county road was too. So they felt like there was no way for them to get in and out. So we're going to take a look at that. I will be reliant on the low-volume road, lettered route. I don't see us, expending a lot of funds put in a bridge or do something. I think right now it's a little water crossing.
It's just 10 horns now that they were talking. That people told me it was about a low water structure.
So, I'll just have to talk to maintenance and see what they've got in their budget, because I don't really think it would make it to the design and planning the SIP side of the budget, because we've focused most of our money on major roads there. But maintenance is usually kind of picking up the slack on the minor roads, the lower volumes, so we just have to take a look. Jim said that a lot of it was a gravel issue, and so they dug out enough to have it functioning now, and then they got it on their itinerary this fall to get the rest of the gravel removed and make sure that that's all cleaned out. I think that the amount of water once the event was over went down fairly quickly, but we still had enough water over the road that we had to keep the barricades out. So, because we have to, I don't know about you guys, but we have to officially keep the road, a barricade up, warning you of water over the road anytime there's water over the road, no matter how much it is. So, but I think it was navigable to local traffic.
With our shop as close as it is, that would be something the commission would discuss, but I'm sure that Road and Bridge would be interested in helping with that situation there at Mount Branson shop.
Oh, okay.
We have our equipment setting right there. If there's some cooperative effort that we could do with the state, as we've done in many other locations, we would be interested in moving that process forward with our participation.
I appreciate you guys stepping up and offering.
Right. So it would be something that it's extremely dangerous. I've seen two vehicles forced off the road there. We went in and put a drainage system, a grid, actually, after we purchased the property, across the road and keep the water from running down. But I personally was sitting in a line when two vehicles were swept across and down in towards Academy Commons or something like that, whatever those apartment houses are.
I've never been through there, but I think it's pretty well one of those events that it hits and it's done and over. But I've heard stories that.
Right. And we've made great improvements on our part of it, so we would be willing if the state would want to.
You would try to help participate in that.
That would be something
that we'll focus on.
Make sure that we would try to help.
You guys are always good partners, so I appreciate that a lot. You, your guys are often local. We have, you know, we've got other partners that are local to show up at our doorstep. What can you do to fix this? And then they walk away. I like that at all. Great. Well, so I'll let them know. Also on kind of on the maintenance side, because we're going to be doing an in-house and it's early. I'm not sure of the date yet, but we are going to be switching the southern intersection of 265, 165 south of the dam to a three-way stop. We're looking at that right now, you know, figuring out where the signs would go and what we need. I think we're going to have to add a couple of low-profile islands to protect some signage and stuff, but we will be putting in a three-way stop right there.
But the stops normally come up from 265 now, right?
Yeah, and it causes a lot of confusion, and we've had a lot of complaints, and I think it's actually on your Transportation Advisory Board's list of things that they were wanting addressed, so we'll be addressing that. So I don't have a date for it right now, because we're kind of studying a little bit to figure out where everything needs to go, but that'll be coming up in the near future. And then as far as maintenance goes, of course, they're patching. That's what we're trying to get done with August, with the flooding and with the low temperatures. We kind of struggle with what we need to get done, so they're hitting it full force right now with a lot of patching operations. And then they will be mowing starting in about the second week of September, the week after Labor Day. They'll start mowing, and that'll be our final mow out. We are going to be doing two full passes this year. We only did one last year. That's given us a lot of grief, a lot of brush. So we're going to hit it with at least two passes, and then areas where it looks like it'll be the smart thing to do, we're going to come back through and do some brush trimming and removal also and try to get some stuff under control. We've been using herbicide a lot, but herbicide control only gets you so far. So we're going to be doing some more brush removal than we've seen in the last year or two. So that's it on the maintenance side, and then on the construction side, we've got a couple of projects scheduled for this area. Actually, several projects, but they fall under two different contractors. APAC have the overlay and shouldering and intersection improvements on 160. They said they'll start on the intersection improvements right now. They're saying the week after Labor Day, so September 9th. And then the week following that, they also have the overlays. We've got overlays on 265, basically from 65 up to the dam, and then 165 all the way up to 76. And those are supposed to start the week following that. So I guess that would be like the 16th, something like that. And they also have a wearing surface, an Ulkerson bonded wearing surface that we're putting down on Route 13, which is actually over in Christiansen County, but it affects you guys too. We're going all the way from Plainview Road in Springfield all the way down to Reed Spring. And that will start, I think, this week, unless they've delayed it. So that'll be a pretty significant project. I know they've got CMS boards and everything up to warn the public. And the other project that will be in the Taney County area is we're going to be putting shoulders on the only stretch of 86 that we didn't get shoulders on, which is basically from 65 to 13. And we'll be doing that this fall. Jernigan has got that contract, and they're telling us they probably will be doing that in October. They gave us a date, but I don't think that's real firm right now with all the delays they've had with rain and everything. But I would expect that early to mid-October, because they've got a November 1st completion date, and we're still holding their feet to the fire on that. So that's what we got coming up this season. If you guys have any questions about any of those or any future projects? I do, I almost forgot, I do have a meeting scheduled, I think it's tomorrow actually, with the design team that's going to be working on the 76th Bridge over down by Forsyth.
Right. Shut about that. What did you just say?
I'm meeting with the design team for the first time to look at that bridge. And this basically is their kickoff meeting. I kept telling you guys that we just haven't gotten far enough along in the process. So we're starting the process, and we're going to see what we can do. So I know they're all banging their heads against the wall already, because it's going to be a challenge. So there's not a lot of good places to go with a new bridge. And we've been told to keep the bridge open, and we're listening to that, so we've got some challenges ahead of us, but we'll be kicking that off, I think, this week. I know everybody's anxious on that.
Please look some stuff on that.
I definitely will. I've learned really quickly. I've learned really quickly that there's like competition to see who can start the first rumor on that. So, so I will make sure I keep you guys informed on that. anything else?
I still have a concern on the Mount Branson 6. What the solution is, whether it needs to be a guardrail that would go all the way to the base with all the water that we had on the right hand, the coming east to be on the left hand side of the road going down the hill is the dangers.
I'm actually meeting with our assistant district engineer, who's also the head of our program delivery side, basically the people that do the design and construction. I'm meeting with him on Wednesday, and we're going to go out and look at that area. That whole lake shore, everything up the hill, you know, look at drainage, look at everything that's out there, because they're scoping for a project out there. We just got to figure out what the project, you know, what the limits are going to be. And then we're also going to look at 248 outside of just north of Branson, because we've got some safety concerns out there. That road is very curvy and hilly, which is similar to a lot of other roads around here, but we're getting pretty high volumes of traffic with the rec center out there and the schools out there, and the cut through the Branson Hills, and so we're going to take a look at that, and we may end up scoping for some type of project out there.
I get calls on that week, but it's really something to bring it up to you that nice.
I understand. I've been on the list for a while, and they finally told me that they've gotten caught up enough in our design groups that they can start contemplating scoping for other projects. They were just swamped there for quite a while. And he was real honest with me up front. He said, we're just, you know, we've got so many things on our plate right now, we can't even begin to look at that, but we're supposed to meet on that on Wednesday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys. And thank you for the offer, Dan.
I'm sorry. Sure. Our next session is the City of Forsyth funding agreements. We received a call, and they're asking if we talked about that. Probably in a week, they're going to get back to us with information that's been requested. So we'll move that to next week's agenda. And we have a personnel matter that is scheduled at the same time that we have 911 ballot question and conflict of interest ordinance. We will move the exec session regarding personnel till the end of those other two issues. With no objections to each other, they're all scheduled at the same time. And as soon as everybody finds a seat, we'll, guys, just pull up a chair. We got it. If we've got it up. Oh, sorry. We'll go close. Next issue for discussion. 911 call question. And if you have that issue with you, I don't see the notes provided.
What would you like?
Copy of the ballot question itself.
It has been written on, but
that's all right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Very well.
The issue at hand and the discussion we have is regarding the November 5th, 2013 election date. We've been requested by the 911 Advisory Board to place an issue on the ballot, reading simply, shall the county attorney replace the current Tane County 911 telephone tariff and impose a county sales tax of 0.25% for the purpose of providing central call taking and dispatch of fire protection, emergency ambulance service, law enforcement, emergency telephone services, and other emergency services. So the question at hand is, will the county commission place this issue on the November ballot? We had a number of questions regarding the issue, one of which was a potential conflict with the Tourism Enhancement District, which has voted to place that, or to ask to have that issue placed on the April 2014 ballot, so that's no longer an issue. And I don't see the county commission moving forward with the potential of a use tax for the November ballot. So right now, what we're looking at is whether or not this issue will go on, and we need to open this for discussion and questions regarding this issue first. Tammy, you all have some questions before we start with questions? I mean, have any comments?
I think we addressed small last week, unless you guys have anything.
Two or three issues, given the openness of the ballot question. The first issue that came up, and I apologize for being redundant, but Dan was not at that meeting. Mm-hmm. Was in the slide presentation that you presented us, the copies that you gave us of information, it noted that there were 10 positions basically that would be transferred from or utilized from the Tane County Sheriff's Department. I mean, you could look at it that way. Mm-hmm. So the question was, would those be individuals that would be transferred over to? I think the answer is no. At least not in mail.
Well, dispatch-wise, those positions would be eliminated from our office, but we would have to actually have four positions brought into as wards and entries to take up the work that the dispatch is currently doing and will no longer be doing in the 911 center. They're doing a lot of work that's not actually dispatch work. And we have to have, all of our agencies have to have 24-hour, where our warrants are being filled at, there has to be somebody there available 24 hours because they have to be in, the hits have to be answered within 10 minutes. So my thoughts, and like I told you last week, I haven't spoken with the other entities about it, that would be to try to converge the warrants divisions from their agencies into ours over here and just have all the warrants and entries done from one location. But that's still yet to be actually discussed and carried on.
That question was, I'll come right back to Chris, that question was raised because of what impact it would have to move us from the tariff, if you will, that's based upon the landline to the sales tax. Because under the legislation that was created, and I think everybody that is involved here was in favor of that, supported it, and promoted it on a statewide basis with a bus pass, is that there will be a new entity created. And once that entity is created, the individuals that serve upon that board will be designated by statute as someone for this organization, someone for this organization, etc. And the sales tax will not be forthcoming to the county, it will be forthcoming to cities, annual district, etc. It will go directly to that newly created political subdivision, if you will. Therefore, all the funds that were forthcoming to the county before that were being shared by the county, at least for the city of Branson, will no longer be in place. We were, at least according to that document, supporting X number of employees within the sheriff's department with approximately $250,000 a year from those sales tax funds towards the dispatch of 911 services, etc. So with what we're going to displace and what we're going to have left, is this going to become a financial burden in addition to the tax that's going to be collected and provided to the community, a burden to the county? So that was the question.
Yeah, and one way of looking at that, that's going to become a burden either way, because if we continue with the loss of monies we're having, our funds to the county are going to be cut. I mean, regardless, because we're going to be out of money.
Well, I understand. But if we didn't have the money for the employees, we wouldn't have the employees either, nor would we have the service. So what we're really facing is trying to solve that overall problem.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, there's still a net, if you're just taking the 10, there's still a net loss of 6 employees that are not going to be coming out of the Sheriff's Department budget.
I know. There's also a net loss of $250,000 that was going into that budget on an annual basis.
Oh, I just see the statute added to the ballot language. Oftentimes I'll get a request later on from individuals, be it the public or the newspaper, asking when did this occur, and I can actually pull the ballot language and would have that statute showing when they were created.
I have all of that.
Is it ballot
what language? She's saying is she'd like to see the ballot language. And the question is, does the statute provide that we can do that, number one? And if it does, then that's a request from the county clerk. Certainly make it easier to track. I understand that question. Chris, you have something to follow up?
Well, no, it was really about $250,000 doesn't really pay for all things. That was my amount.
Any other questions? You didn't miss that.
I believe most oftentimes when it talks about the ballot language, it will be something like primarily like this or subsequently like this. Yeah, just include the statute number.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm at.
Okay.
Currently, the county tax that was passed for 911 purposes is in existence. What is the feeling of the 911 advisory board is when those existing funds are left will go?
They will be spent here pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're going to be gone. They'll be depleted, and it's actually difficult right now to pay all the bills at one time as they come in. Right now, we have to wait for the revenues, even if they're budgeted. I mean, they've been budgeted amounts, but I have to wait for a few months of revenue to come in to even pay. Well, the sheriff hasn't had his transfer this year yet because we're trying to make sure that there's money in there for the funds that pay for Judy's and my pay, and the monthly bills that come in. So it's at a critical point.
When the assuming that the sales tax were placed on the ballot and were passed by the voters in November, it would become active when? April, maybe, or
I believe they have 6 months to do the whole process of the tariff amounts going off. We give them a notice, and that at this date, you stop collections, we'll stop taking it from you and from the phone company. And then the sales tax will start, it's either, I believe it's about the same amount of time, the 6 months.
Hello, let me ask a question. If this takes place, as you say, and we run out of funds, the supplemental monies that take place between the time frame of the you're calling it tariff goes off, and is that, I know it's a separate entity, but is that fed through GCR, or how does that go? You think you can't operate if you don't have any money?
You're the taxing authority of the tariffed amount. So my understanding, it comes to the taxing authority of the tariff amount. Other counties, their 911 systems, when this has happened, that's what it's gone to. And basically it would pay for the admin functions until it ran out, and then it would be up to you to whether to supplement that until the taxable amounts are collected or choose not to. But there will be no overlap of the tariff amount and the sales tax. That is one thing for sure. There is no, so nobody is going to be doubly taxed.
That part of it is something I'm worried about. I'm worried about, are we going to budget each year, because we're going to start off, are we going to start off in the hole on the thing for 6 months, is what I'm understanding what you're saying, approximately. So we're going to feed that out, and we'll have to figure that into our budget line.
Possible, yeah.
To support that.
And or every other entity that's involved.
So right, and
discussion we're going to have to have.
Right, and then the amount that we subsidize, will it be paid back to GCR? Is there going to be enough money to pay it back that same year? We're going to, next year, we're going to have to budget that same figure. I'm trying to figure that out myself.
My understanding of it was that it would take about 6 months to stop the tariff from collecting, and it takes about 6 months to take off with the sales tax, and so it should have a smooth changeover. Okay. So, and in other words, at least my understanding has been, I don't know if there's anybody, any other thoughts, that for about half the year it will remain under the tariff, and then it will switch to the new entity. But there should not be a time in between where we're nothing. I mean, it should go from one to the other. But number one, it should go from one to the other. But on the other hand, it shouldn't be doubling either, as it's supposed to.
And in that 6 months, we're allowed to get the consolidation. That entity will put the consolidation plan together so that when the sales tax starts collecting, we'll move in that direction.
Then the authority would change over as when the funds would change over.
I'm trying to get this figured out as far as when taxes are collected, when they are available for payment to the entities. And then that's, if it's only November, then you're talking about until April, and the major amount of
notices sales tax.
Right. But the major amount of that is, as we call through the system and the news media, calls the same thing. We have good months and bad months throughout the year. That's what I'm trying to figure out, so we don't have a last. I would think that there would be a budgeting amount the first year, and hopefully that would be the end of this budget for. And that money would be repaid, the repayment of those funds as the other monies come in. That we're not in the hole on a constant basis, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
But through the repayment program of whatever has to be done. But you're thinking that it should be even. And yeah,
ideally,
I know,
that's what it's going
ideally,
to be.
Ideally, yes. I mean,
you've got your contingency fund. You can always choose to just leave the money in your contingency fund, and then if the issue does arise, you can take the money out of there for an emergency purpose and then have it be repaid whatever schedule they can do.
You're talking DCR's contingency fund?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because our contingency fund is part of that money that will be depleted, so that, I just wanted to clarify that.
But part of that money will be depleted through the process of paying these bills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the expenses probably won't be incurred for a while anyway, so
right.
I think we'll discuss this for a few minutes. It's going to be a while before they incur the.
It is until you start pulling money out of the fund to repay. Then it becomes a question to the public, and it becomes a question for the repayment out of those funds. We've all run into this in another situation that I'll not bring up right now, but there's always questions. And so I'm trying to head those questions off before we reach that point on the repayment.
And we, like I said, we do still have a contingency fund with 911 that can be used to pay some of those bills as we go.
So the interpretation of the wording that's in the ballot is that there's not going to be an overlap or double taxation. So when individuals are paying a tariff on the phone bill and paying a sales tax, correct? So that in fact, when the existing tariff is deleted, voided, done away with, that's when the sales tax takes effect. There won't be any halt in service. We're going to continue with 911 until, obviously, a facility is constructed. So I'm assuming, we're going to continue with 911 service. And during that process, the intention is for consolidation of all dispatch services, correct, that are currently providing 911 service into one.
Now, is that in the language?
Yes.
That's in the language. So that's a selling point for that. I don't see any problem with anything other than what we I hope we've addressed through the minutes everything that needs to be.
Are there any disagreements or comments regarding the county clerk's hopeful addition of the words, the statute numbers, which I would assume come right at the end of the sentence, and other emergency services as provided in section RSMO?
Or pursuant to?
Pursuant to is probably a better word. Pursuant to, I'm going to write on this.
Yeah, okay, I started on my head.
Pursuant to section, and then whatever the statute is.
190.335.
Is there any other statute that refers back to for collection of sales tax, et cetera, that should be added? Because you might have to add in other.
There's a section that says except as modified in the section, all provisions of section 32 point shall apply to the tax imposed on this section.
But if you have 190 point, whatever you said, then if it tells me to go somewhere else, then it's included in that.
That's the primary definition. Revised statute of what the board will encompass, what the definitions of each position and the ballot language.
The reason I ask, although I know it makes it easier for us to track 25 years from now, is some legislators and individuals have thought that clouds the issue to have the statute added, which is why typically they don't call for the statute within the ballot question itself. But if there's no objection.
Yeah. This statute is the one that creates the board?
Yes. It's both the ballot.
And the sales tax.
Yeah, it combines the board definition and the ballot language and the adoption of alternative tax, telephone tax to expire when board appointments.
Actually, this statute is unique in that you can't have the sales tax unless this board is created.
Correct. It's only Christian and Taney County language.
And Ron, if you're worried about those, the statutes do change. We keep the same number, but within the statute it changes. You can always say pursuant to that statute number and then the year, and then it refers back to not only the statute but the year of that statute.
This commission approves this ballot language for November election. I'd like you to work with Tammy to make sure that verbiage is proper. And
are you ready for a motion?
Yes, sir.
Well,
can I read the last one there?
Just Motion to apply the ballot language to the November election for 911 telephone services. Do you want me to read this entire thing into there? Because you're going to reread it, but with the corrections and corrections made in this discussion, and Ron, you can read the whole thing in there if you want to.
So your motion is to place the 911 call ticket dispatch tax issue as presented, with the addition of the African statute on the November 5th, 2015 ballot. Yes. Motion's been made and seconded to place the combined 911 call taking dispatch tax of a quarter of a cent on the changing November 5th, 2013 ballot as presented, with the addition of the appertaining statute. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I failed to ask if there was anyone here from the public that wished to talk. I haven't looked at this argument. I apologize for that. Do you have some comments that you would like to make?
No, I'm just glad you did. Now it's up to myself included and all these gentlemen to get the word out, because I would sure hate to have nearly 350 guardian alerts and have nobody to call when they need help. So I appreciate you doing this, and now it's up to us to get the job done.
I'd like to thank you also, because you're able to get something going here that the state so far hasn't been able to do, that should have been taken care of statewide. But,
you know, as I said last week, I think Missouri's got itself in a position that we're not going to be able to do something statewide, because
no hope is
we've messed around too long. We're unable to address this in a way that other states have addressed it, which is a shame, but we'll hopefully be addressing it here in this county. And let me applaud the committee for all your work and your recommendation. And my challenge to you is educate the public.
It's the big part now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You need a copy of that. You need a copy of
that.
I gave her one last week. Yeah.
Okay.
Except it'll
be did you draft another one that has that little part on there about pursuant to the SMO
budget? Then I'm going to have Stacy enter that into the whatever story. I mean, I'll have it, but.
Thanks,
ma'am. I'd like to do that.
Just for your edification, my comments are not meant to be negative. They're just questions that you have.
Absolutely.
Throwing out the
answer. Absolutely.
Thank you.
We're going to get asked a lot of questions, so
got to
start now.
We're standing in recess for a couple minutes until we